Okay, well, thank you for joining us. We are actually going to be looking at the power of speech today, which is really important when it comes to friendship evangelism, right? It's not just, I mean, sometimes people you'll only get a few minutes to speak to them, right? Sometimes you don't get the opportunity to speak, but when you do, it's important the words that you do use, etc. And so we have a special speaker joining us today, DJ Jacobson. He went to the School of Evangelism 2013. And from there he worked in Edmonton with Impact and as well as Calgary with their series. And he comes with a wealth of knowledge and he's has some great experiences to share. Also, I'll be getting your names written down so that we can hand out your certificates. We'll have them ready at the office from 6 p.m. onwards as well. Okay? All right. Well, before I hand over the mic to DJ, we'll just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the God who speaks life into every human being, Lord, who is able to speak peace and transformation. And Lord, even now at this time, we ask that you speak to our hearts and minds, and that you would speak through DJ, and that you'd give him the words to equip us and prepare us and make us more effective in the field of witnessing about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great. Thank you. All right. How does this pop out? There we go. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. How are you doing? It's chilly, but praise the Lord. It quit raining, and so we're glad that you could be here today. I have a little handout. If I could get Sandra to pass one of those out, one to each person. Thank you. And we're glad you were here today. We are looking at the power of speech, witnessing with people, and I've also titled this, An Exciting Way to Turn Conversations Spiritual. How many of us have had conversations with people and we want to turn it spiritual? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. So, does Jesus really need me to talk with people and tell them about him? Does Jesus really need to do that? Can't I just live my life as a Christian and people will see my example and then they'll want to follow him? Does he really need me to say anything? Well, in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, you may be familiar with this. That's the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make," what does he say? Disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus is just telling this to the pastors. Yeah? No. Who is he telling this to? To his disciples, all of us, exactly. All of us. We work with the Holy Spirit. Some will say, well, I'm not the Holy Spirit and I can't convict people but you're not the Holy Spirit, but you work with him. Did an angel do all the work with the Ethiopian who was riding in his chariot and he's reading the Bible, he's reading the book of Isaiah? Did an angel come along and help him out?
No.
Who was it? It was Philip. And so the Spirit brought Philip to the Ethiopian and he explained the scriptures to him. And so we work with the Holy Spirit. We work together, and it's exciting when God uses us to do a supernatural, to have a supernatural experience. And when you're with someone and things turn spiritual, you're having a supernatural experience through natural events. So what do I mean by a supernatural event happening through a natural event? Let's say someone comes to church and they need $50. They're not telling anybody. They're just praying, Lord, you know, I need this bill paid. You know, I need $50. And they're sitting in their pew and they're smiling. And someone else comes to church and the Spirit says to that person, you should give this person $50. Put it in an envelope. Take it over to that person there. And so the person does that, puts it in the envelope, walks over and says, you know, I've been impressed to give you this. So now that was a natural experience, but was it also supernatural? Totally. God led in that and they experienced a supernatural event. And so it is so exciting when we can participate with the Spirit and have supernatural experiences. Now you might be saying, well, that's not me. I'm afraid, right? I can't do that. I can't step out. And some of you are already putting your hands up saying, that's me. I can't do it. Let me show you this person on the screen, on the left here. I'm not sure if some of you recognize this person here. That's my mom, Marina Jacobson. Now, she loved to visit people, and she would drive around, like wherever, you know, wherever there was somebody who wanted to visit, she would go, and she'd take me along with me, with her. And I hated it. I was afraid of people. I could sit in the car all day. I was so shy, super shy. I did not want to go in the house. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just, you know, I'm going to be by myself. And so the Lord has worked in my life to step out and to share with people now. And it's the most exciting thing I've ever done. And so there's hope for you if you are afraid. If he can use me, he can use you. Gospel Workers, page 193. To all who are working, what? Christ? With Christ. I would say, wherever you can gain access to the people by the fireside, improve your opportunity. Take your Bible and open before them its great truths. Your success will not depend upon so much upon your what and accomplishments? Knowledge and accomplishments. As upon your ability to find your way to the heart. Many of us, another objection that we have is that I don't know enough. I don't have my theology degree, or I don't know enough about the Bible. It's not about how much you know, it's about sharing your experience, what Jesus has done for you in your life, and sharing that with other people. So if you're feeling that you don't know enough, you can step out. So we meet people. We meet people wherever we are. We meet them in the grocery store or wherever it is. And so on your handout here, I have an acronym, how we can help us start a conversation with a stranger. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, he says, I become weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So what is Paul saying here? What does he mean by this verse? What? Identify with the people. Exactly. When Paul was in the synagogue, when he was in the churches, he would talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He talked about the forefathers because that group of people could relate with them. But when he was in Athens, he talked about art and sculptures. He's like, yeah, I'm walking around here and I see you people are religious. You've got art and you've got this. And so he identified with the people. So you're looking, if you see somebody and you want to identify with them, okay, if you're in the grocery store, look what kind of food they've got. You know, what kind of clothes are they wearing? Their culture, if they have children. You're looking for some way to start a conversation with them. Oh, I love your hair. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get your hair done? Start the conversation that way. Sometimes it feels like starting a conversation is breaking through a fort, and that's our acronym. And so the F stands for family. What does the F stand for? Family. So you can ask an open-ended question, like, tell me about your family. And so then they'll tell you about their family. They'll start talking about their family. Or O stands for occupation, their work. What do you do for work? You could, if someone doesn't want to talk about their family, or you don't get very far with that, switch to O, occupation. Where I find people, what they really like to talk about is R, recreation, their hobby. What do you do for fun? Oh, I like to read, I like to fly model airplanes. And T stands for testimony. When it's time to share your testimony, you can share a small testimony with them. So, we're having a conversation with someone, and we're talking about talking with them, and we're zooming down the conversation highway. And so we're asking questions. And so what are we asking? We're asking questions. Exactly. We are investigating. We're asking who, what, when, where, why. Let's say the person is a painter and they like to paint. So we can ask them questions about painting. Who was it that inspired you to paint? What do you like to paint? Do you like to use oils? Do you like to use watercolor? You know, how do you paint? Could you show me? So you're asking all of these kind of questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And when you're visiting with people, you become their friends. The longer you talk with them, they become closer with them. So how do you turn a regular conversation into a spiritual conversation? You are going to be part of the IRS. Well, I guess it's more like ISR. Here's another acronym that I have on your paper for you to remember. So we're going to investigate, we're going to stimulate, and then we're going to what? Relate. So if you're driving your car down the highway and you're doing 100 down the highway and you jerk the wheel, what's going to happen? Some of you, your eyes just popped up. Yeah, you're going to crash. You're going to flip. If you suddenly jerk the wheel, you're going to crash. And so what do we need to do if we're driving down the highway and we want to turn onto a street or turn onto another highway? What do we have to do? You got to slow down. Slow down, change lanes, and then you can take your exit. Exactly. And so that's exactly what we have to do with conversations. Slow down, change lanes, and exit. So, we're driving down the conversational highway and we're talking about painting. Because this person likes to paint. Oh, what kind of watercolors do you use? Oh, when do you like to paint? Oh, I like to paint in the morning. And by the way, here's a book about the second coming of Jesus. Did the conversation just crash? The conversation just crashed. Exactly. So we need to slow it down. So here's what we do. We ask a stimulating question. So if they like to paint, I might ask them, now first of all, when you're going down the highway, when you're going down the conversational highway with people, let them talk about everything that they want to talk about first. Let it run its course. So we're not jerking the wheel and crashing the car. So let them talk and talk and talk until they get to the end of it, till they're done talking about that topic. Then ask them a stimulating question. Like, who do you think the first artist was? And so when we ask a question like that, we're slowing the conversation down and we're getting them to think. Now, they might not give you the answer that you're looking for. Who do you think the first artist is? They might say, oh, wow, that's is that Van Gogh? Is that Rembrandt? And, who's before that? They might start thinking along those lines, and that's fine. But we're slowing the conversation down, and they're stopping. They're slowing down. They're thinking about who the first artist is. And then we move to relate. Could I share with you who I think the first artist was? Oh yeah, sure. Who do you think that was? I think it was God. Have you ever gone into the forest and seen the trees and the mountains, and God just didn't make it boring? He's got green grass and blue sky. And you see what you've done there? You've turned the regular conversation into a spiritual conversation, but we didn't just do it abruptly. Oh, here's a book about Jesus. We slowed down and we're thinking about God now. Then we can pull out our book. I would like to share this book about the great artist with you. You can have that. And so this is how we can turn conversations into spiritual conversations. Someone throw out another hobby. Let's do one that is not scripted. So let's just pick a hobby and we'll throw it out there. A conversation that we're having with somebody.
Knitting.
Okay. Knitting. For a guy. Thank you. She's enjoying this. For those who can't hear on the recording. So we're talking about knitting. Okay, yeah, knitting. That's great. Like, what do you like to knit with? Do is that the thing where you use the little needles or the big needles? Or, what do you use? What kind of fabrics? When do you like to knit? And so we're talking about knitting. So what do you think? What do you think we could use to ask a stimulating question? What do you think? There are no wrong answers. Just throw them out. Who was the first knitter? who knit you? You know what? That could work. Who do you think was the very first knitter? Sure, because the Bible says, God knit you in your womb. Yeah, you could do that. You could do it. Totally, right? Exactly. And isn't that easy? Isn't it almost fun when you're visiting with people and you're thinking and you're praying, right? Because the Spirit is there, right? And the Spirit's whispering in your ear, okay, who was the first knitter? You're taking cues from the Spirit. I love it. You want to try another one? Let's try another one. Who's got another one? Horseback riding. Okay. We're talking about horseback riding. When do you like to ride? Are there different kind of horses? How long have you ridden? Have you ever been hurt? Do you have to wear one of those helmets? And so we're talking about horseback riding. Oh, and we've been talking for half an hour on horseback riding. And now we want to slow it down. So what do you think, what could we ask to be a stimulating question?
Do you think they just evolved, or could they have been created?
Where do you think, where do you think the first horse came from? Where did horses come from? You know, we could go with that. That's good. I like that. Could I share with you about who created the first horse? Or when the, yeah, when do you think horses were created? They were created on the sixth day. You know, just lots of different ways that you could do that. And it's fun. It's actually fun and exciting. And you can do it. Stimulating question, can I share with you? Okay. Don't worry about crashing the conversation, because it'll probably happen, because it still happens to me. but you get better at it and better, and it's exciting, and it will become fun. Gospel workers, the same, like this is such an amazing quote. This is like my favorite quote. We talked about the first part already. Now at the bottom, the presentation of Christ in the family, by the fireside, and in small gatherings in private houses is often what? More successful in winning souls to Jesus than our sermons delivered in the open air to the moving throng, or even in halls or churches. Many of us think, yeah, you know, I'm not a Mark Finley, I'm not a John Bradshaw. But when something happens, when you get inside someone's house, or when they're inside your house, they just open right up. When I first started, I was always worried about how I'm going to start something, how I'm going to start the conversation. The people will bring up to you what's on their mind. Something is already on their heart, and they're going to start talking to you about it. And so, let me share with you some phrases that work really well with people. And I have these on your notes on the second page. Phrases that work really well are, have you ever considered? Have you ever considered? It's a nice way of asking things. You know, you don't sound too pushy. You're putting it in their court. Have you ever considered? Would you consider going through some Bible lessons with me sometime? Yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah, we could do that. Have you considered? Would you consider? And if they say no, then I say, oh, what's keeping you? And this one works. Both of these together work really, really good. You can just find out right away what people's objections are. And when you know what the objection is, then it's easier to help them with that objection and go through it. Would you like to do Bible lessons? Not really. Oh, what's keeping you? I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. Okay. And then you can talk about some other things, come back to it, because that person might be convicted about going to church. Go slow with people. It's not a race to get through 30 Bible studies. It's about a relationship with Jesus and a personal relationship with you. When you're meeting people and doing Bible lessons with them, you are becoming their friend. This is your new best friend. The studies that I like to use are the Search for Certainty studies by Mark Finley. Now, that's just me personally, because when you do Bible studies with people, you need to tailor it to them. Younger people might not so much be into these. They might be into more of Lightbearer's Truth Link. And so, but as you, if you start Bible studies with someone, just you can get these at the ABC. and super easy. It's all just question-answer format. You read the question, find the Bible answer, and it's easy to do. Super easy. Anyone can do it. Yeah. Online Bible studies. I personally would study with the person myself, yeah. and I never tell the people that there's 30 Bible studies. And of all the people that I've ever studied with, all of them, I've only had like two people ever ask me how many there are. After the second or third time, these people are your friend. You get into their house and they're just like, wow, you know, like these are exciting, you know, can I give you something to eat next time? Sure. You know, and then you're visiting again and again, and it's yes, they're learning about the Bible, but they're also having a friendship with you and they're just enjoying it so much. I'm enjoying this so much. Can I invite my friends? Yeah, bring them in. And so the reason I would discourage that is because online Bible studies, just sending somebody somewhere.
No, I would sit with them.
Oh, you would sit with them. I would do that as a last resort, only because then they could see the website and then they would jump ahead by themselves. And where this way, with these Bible studies, they go very slow. And the Sabbath isn't until lesson 12, till you've established a relationship with them. You're their friend. So when it comes time for something hard, that they trust you now. You're their friend. Rather than so many of us when we meet people, you know, oh, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian too. Have you heard about the Sabbath? You know, so right away there's a disagreement. And so we don't want disagreements, you know. If I were to say to you, hi, my name is DJ, and your name is? Yvonne. Yvonne, do you have a cell phone, Yvonne? You do. Are you Apple or Android?
Apple.
Apple. That's a terrible phone. Did you know that you shouldn't have the app? With the Samsung phone, if you get this, it's much easier to use. There's, you know, the camera is better. You can drop it and everything. Is, you know.
And it comes.
So you see what I did there? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but many of us do that. Like it's a great point. You know, so many of us, like, yes, we love the Sabbath and we'll get there, but you want to build that friendship with them first. And death is like study 16. And so, you know, death is actually harder for people to accept than the Sabbath.
She wants to know what.
You know, it's a total spiritual thing. So you pray, and maybe God wants you to do that study with them. That's when many people are open, especially when a death has happened and they want to know. And so, you know, if the Spirit is telling you to do that, then do that. That could be your first study. I wouldn't recommend it in general to start with that. But this is where they're hurting the most. And I've had that happen to me. A friend of mine, we talk about hockey. He's my hockey buddy. And we just talk about hockey, 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 hockey. And his parents died. And he says to me, he says, I wonder what happens when you die. And so when tragedy comes like that, people are open, and then you can share. You know, would you consider going through a Bible lesson with me on death? Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, I'd like that. You know, and so we're waiting for opportunities like that. Pray, the Spirit may tell you to do that. Totally. If that, let's find out what the Bible says. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was just going to say, sometimes we deal with individuals that are overseas. You know, we have friends that move. You know, sometimes I've had them go through Amazing Facts online Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, my dad, he was very independent, so he wanted to do them all on his own. You know, and so, you know, I wasn't going to argue with that. You know, let him do what he wants to do. And so he went through the Amazing Facts one. But I feel that every Bible study isn't perfect. You know, there are elements that, you know, Amazing Facts shares great facts and, you know, the truth, but it's not very as relational, you know, when it comes to sharing, you know, God's love for them. You know, that piece isn't so prevalent in their studies. So I've worked with them for a long time. So just adapting, you know, that's what you study. But it does have a very good website. There's a certification at the end, and the oath elements are there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What Sandra was saying is her father was overseas, and so she directed him to an online Bible study course through Amazing Facts. Okay, so I have some ABCs of sharing. So A is accept. Accept the person as they are when you see them. And we think of Jesus when he was with the woman at the well. Jesus talked about himself. He didn't point out the things that this woman was doing wrong. She was at the well because she knew nobody else was going to be there. This is at noon in the heat of the day. Nobody's there. And so he shows up and he's not saying to her, you know, you've gone through five guys and you're living with somebody right now. He didn't do that. He accepted her as she was. We have many good intentions when new people come into the church, or we meet someone, and there are people out there that look different than us, right? Tattoos and many piercings, and so that will come. You're just meeting them as they are. You know, smell of drugs. It's like accept them as they are. And, you know, the Spirit will work with them. Agree with people. As far as you can, agree with them when you're visiting with them, when you're studying with them. And so if you're doing a Bible lesson or even just talking with someone and they mention, well, I'm really glad that my mom is in heaven with the Lord right now. And That's okay. We don't need to correct that. And I totally get it, because that's one of the first things that I want to do. I want to correct things. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says, you know, and Jesus is a loving God. But just agree with them. You know, as far as you can, you could say, I look forward to seeing my mom again, too, when Jesus comes back. And so there's a whole Bible study on that. You'll get to it. And so we don't need to correct people immediately. We're just accepting them and agreeing with them as far as we can. Mm-hmm. Just a few weeks ago, I helped someone move, and I just met this lady, and within the course of the day, she told me She's like, I don't come to church anymore. I keep Sabbath in my heart. And but then we find out, you know, that basically it was people that, you know, said some not so nice things to her, and she left. And so she's hurting, and people are hurting. And so when they have objections, it may seem that they're really against the gospel, but they just got some kind of objection and why they're hurt. Now, it could be a legitimate hurt. Well, it is. That's why she's not there. But in visiting with her just this day, I let her know that we miss her. You know, you're not in church anymore. We miss you. And in visiting with her, I could know, and just through the conversation, she's still connected with Jesus. She's still having devotions. She's doing all of this, but she's not connected with the church. And so are we going to plug her back in? Totally. You know, how do I say it? I invited my wife and I to go and have supper with her, because that's just what I do, and somehow that works for me. But would you consider having my wife and I over sometime for supper? Because she really loved food, like she really loved salads and stuff like this. And just the way she would talk about, you know, I make my own dressing and I do that, and I'm just like, wow, that sounds really good. That sounds really good, you know. Would it be okay if my wife and I came over and sampled something? Yeah, totally, you know. And so, you know, go with what people like. And we're going to go and we're going to visit with her. And hopefully we can plug her back into the body of Christ, because she was hurt and she's missing. And so I didn't correct her, and you know, when the Bible says you need to, you know, we're going to get there. We're going to visit with her, become friends with her, invite her back. So I agreed with her. I'm sorry that these people hurt you. You know, we miss you though. We'll see you later. You know, we'll come by for supper. Believe. Accept, agree, believe. And I still struggle with this too. You need to believe in them. Whoever you are visiting with, studying with, like, there are some people that you just think they are lost. This is a hopeless case. They're just, you know, their lifestyle is way too out there. They're too far gone. But you know, you want to believe that, but don't believe in them that they will come through. They'll want to learn more about Jesus, and we're plugging them in, you know, with Jesus, that there is a better life out there, because they're stuck in a rut that they can't get out of. They want to get out, but they can't. And so believe in them, and when you have that belief in someone, they'll see that and they'll want to follow. So believe in them. And not only believe in them, but be confident. Be confident in yourself and them as well. Don't be afraid of the gospel, right? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so be confident. You know, would you consider doing Bible lessons? Yeah. You know, I'm free on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Which day works better for you? And so be confident. Well, you know, I've got these Bible lessons, and I know you're really busy, but do you think that you could maybe find some time on Tuesday night? And it's no. You get confident. You hit it. You know, you have something good, right? And we do. Do we not have something good? Totally. You know, we have something good that we want to share. And so be confident in that. You know, God will bless you in your journey as you go to share your faith with others. He'll be with you, and you'll have these spiritual experiences, and it is just, you know, amazing how many times that God can take a situation and turn it around. And even if something doesn't go quite right, Maybe it's going that way for a reason. Try to find a way through whatever that conflict is. How many times, you know, have my wife and I, we've left someone's house just rejoicing where as you're visiting, they want to make a decision and follow Jesus. Are there any more questions that you have? Yeah.
I have a comment. In the book that Sandra gave out at the beginning, I was really impressed with the fact that when you make friends, don't make it obvious that your end goal is to win them or mm-hmm. be a member of them. Yeah. But they can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Be genuine. Listen to them.
Totally.
Yeah. Did anyone not get a book?
So the comment is be genuine, because people will see when you're not. And exactly, you know, when I come home from work and my wife is trying to talk to me and I'm, you know, okay, I'm looking at this. Yeah, okay, dear. Yeah, uh-huh, sure. Okay, yeah, whatever. You know, she knows that I'm not interested in what she's saying. And so when we make eye contact, and when we really want to hear, you know, people associate being heard with being loved. And so when someone when they feel heard, they will feel loved. Yes. Any other questions? Usually after one and then another and another. Yeah.
This isn't a question, it's just a
comment. Sure. Okay, yep.
And just people in public use the same type of thing, you know, if you're at a grocery store, whatever, to open a conversation and go through virtually everything you do, but in the end, just ask them if they have any interest in spiritual things, and if they do, they love giving it. Just love giving it gratefully.
Totally, yeah. Give out, the comment is give out books, and you know, and people like getting the books. And so, and ask them, are you interested in spiritual things? And then, you know, people will say yes or no. And if they're not interested, that's okay.
I've had very few, I probably have about 250 books or more, and I've had very few people review it.
Nice. Do you put your name in it?
I've been putting the email in the back, and to be honest, I've only got one response back, and it was from a gal. She was obviously maybe a Mennonite or something by the way she was dressed, but she emailed back and said that she didn't finish reading the book because she disagreed with some of the stuff. But other than that, you know, I think people, it's just getting this into their minds because there's so much, you know, like Mrs. White says, that's the book that you want to pass on the book. So, you know, my goal basically is to get this into their minds so they're thinking about it.
Yes, and when books are really good, because when they're at home and they're reading it, the Spirit will convict them on something and they'll be upset about it, but they're arguing with the Spirit, you know, they're not arguing with a person, and you know, they might put the book down, but then they might pick it up again because the Spirit is there. And so it's not, you're not just arguing with a person, but the book, and the book can't talk back. Sometimes the Spirit speaks louder through books. Totally, yeah, books are a great idea.
But you can really follow the same format that
you're using. Mm-hmm. Yes. Hand out a book, or you know, if you have a business card or something like that with your name on it, just so the people, you know, if they want, they may never call you, but they may call you. You know, have them over to your house, or you go visit them. The first visit may be 90% not spiritual, and just the last part be spiritual, and so that's okay. You know, you're visiting with them. You're starting with them. When I do visit with people, whether it's studying or visiting with them, I will keep the spiritual for the end. So we have our spiritual conversation and then leave while the spirit is still there and they're still thinking about that. So we don't start. So we just don't start with the spiritual and then end up talking hockey and then leave and then they're thinking about hockey. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Is this something that you think that you could do? Yes, it's the most exciting, and if you mess up, that's okay. You know, next time, it will get better. It will get easier. And you learn too, totally. This really grows your faith. When you visit with people, when you study with them, when they ask you a question that you don't know, you can say, I don't know what that is. That's a great question. I don't know. I need to study that for myself. And so you're being honest with them, and you could even learn together. And so, yeah, totally. That's totally happened to us. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if there's no more questions, we will close with prayer. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just pray and we ask for your spirit to lead and guide us throughout our days. Bring people into our paths where we can touch them with your message of hope. And continue to lead people closer to you. Be with all of us in such a great way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.
And those who are looking for certificates who have attended this week, I will be, I speak your full name. Okay, and then we will have them at the, right at the office, and I'll have them ready for you. Okay, you just give me your name, and I will just put them in.
What book can I see? That book you said you can buy in ABC for guide for the Bible study. Is this the one?
Oh, these here? Yes, these are Bible studies.
Oh, can you get this in ABC?
You can get this at the ABC. Yes.
Oh, it's like. I think I saw that.
Yeah, they're called Search for Certainty.
Okay.
Search for Certainty.
Can I take picture of just the title, first title?
Totally.
Because
yeah.
Because my memory is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like mine.
That I forgot the part.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. DJ.
DJ.
Jacobson.
Jacobson.
Yes.
What's your, where are you from? What are you doing?
Originally Calgary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But now my wife and I live out by Bicester.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What are you going to do there?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got an acreage there. I work in the city doing courier work during the week. I try to do that part-time and then do Bible work part-time.
Okay. So are you Bible work volunteer or conference?
When they need me, they call me, and then I leave, and I'll take a leave from work. I've taken two leave of absence from work, but right now it's just so it's part time, and so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you in Calgary?
No, Lacombe.
In Lacombe. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want Capenia?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know any Capenia?
Yeah, I might have even, I don't know if I talked to you, if your husband has the proof.
Yeah, you guys want to ask what book is that you're saying about marketing
school? This here? Oh, no, these are Bible studies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can get that from the ABC. You know what? You can also what I've also been doing. I forgot to mention this to people. I go to the It Is Written website, mm-hmm. and these are online.
Oh, okay.
So I copy and then paste it mm-hmm. into a Word document, and then I just print my own.
Oh, okay.
So then I don't have to.
Okay. But this is available there in the ABC.
But this is available at the ABC.
Search for
Surgeon TV. You can take a picture of it if you want.
Oh, okay.
It's, I believe they're $10 for a complete set.
Okay.
If you were interested in doing Bible studies with people, I would talk to your pastor.
Uh-huh.
And say, listen, Pastor, you know, I'm interested in doing Bible studies with people.
Uh-huh.
Can the church buy me some Bible studies?
What I'm using is I have a Bible and then like a chain Bible in my place.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I want some materials also to hand out as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Pastor.
Yes, you're welcome.
That's a blessing. Thank you so much.
Yes, all right.
He was up here just today with the kids on the. He's playing soccer. Well, I appreciate your presentation very much. It was a very practical. I mean, that might be just
Thank you. Thank you. because of what I'm doing for this, or, you know, sometimes it.
This spot.
Yes. Great.
Yeah, thank you.